settling in her stomach like sour milk. Still, her demon urged her to swallow more. Nox took the glass from her when she gagged.
Are you going to be sick?
She shook her head and leaned back, taking deep breaths.
I'm okay.
No, she damn well wasn't.
I need to call Rogers.
Nox stood and pulled out his cell phone just as Tanner entered the room and headed straight for Harper. The moment Rogers picked up the phone, Nox said,
Harper's running a fever. She says her blood feels hot.
A pause.
Her blood feels hot?
The doctor's words rung with confusion and disbelief.
Yes. What's wrong with her?
The question came out through gritted teeth.
I can't say without examining her. Put me on speakerphone so I can talk to her.
Nox did as he requested, and then crouched again in front of Harper as the doctor addressed her, asking her various questions that she drowsily answered. The whole time Nox rubbed her thigh. He could feel the feverish heat of her skin even through the denim of her jeans. Insane with a worry it wasn't used to feeling, his demon snarled and roared. A moan slipped out of Harper as she began to tremble.
It's like my blood's sizzling.
Sizzling?
Rogers echoed.
That doesn't sound good.
She scratched at her skin, eyes wide.
Shit! I feel like my veins are going to explode!
That's not good either, said Rogers.
Knox's hand tightened around the phone.
We're fucking well aware that it's not good. I'm gonna send a teleporter to collect you. Are you home or in your office? Home. They'll be there in a minute. Be ready.
Ending the call, Nox spoke to Tanner.
Send Armand to collect Dr. Rogers and bring him to the mansion.
Levi jogged into the room, expression hard. Watching as Harper reluctantly sipped more water, he asked,
What's wrong with her?
I don't know.
Nox urged her to drink more.
Does the water help, baby?
Yes, I'm okay.
Harper handed him back the glass.
I'm cooler now.
Nox looked at her, dismayed.
No, baby, you're not. I swear, I feel like I'm sitting next to a damn radiator.
Shaking her head, she pulled her knees to her chest and wrapped her arms around herself.
I'm cold. Ice cold. But my blood still feels hot.
Nox's jaw clenched.
Your skin is still burning. You're not cold.
There was a knock at the front door, and Dan left the room only to swiftly return with Rogers. The doctor pushed his way past the people gathering around and spoke to Nox.
Armand says he will come back when you need him.
Standing, Nox nodded.
Find out what's happening to her, so we can fix it and make her better.
Harper looked at Rogers through squinted eyes.
Something's wrong, Doc,
she said, teeth chattering. Rogers put his hand to her clammy forehead and grimaced.
You say your blood feels like it's hot?
Harper nodded.
But I'm freezing. Where's the damn blanket?
As you've seen for yourself, she's roasting hot to touch,
Nox said to Rogers.
Tell me you know what kind of fever this is.
Levi's brow creased.
Give me a second.
At that, he fished his cell from his pocket and backed out of the room. Nox stood there, arms folded, as Rogers used a penlight to check her eyes and pottered around, checking her temperature and other things. Nox fisted his hands, impatient for an answer. Harper seemed to have drifted off, which only increased his worry.
Rogers!
The doctor sighed.
I truly have no idea what's the matter with her.
And he was now panicking. Nox's demon growled and shoved its way to the surface.
How can you not know?
It demanded of Rogers.
You are a doctor. Do something. Make her better.
Rogers paled.
There's nothing physically wrong with her?
He stammered.
I'm a gynecologist. This sort of thing isn't my specialty, but I know enough to be sure that this isn't pregnancy-related.
Knox forced his demon to retreat before it scared the doctor away.
What would normally cause a fever this intense?
Roger seemed relieved to be once again dealing with Knox.
Honestly, nothing I've ever come across.
Could it be some kind of allergic reaction?
Asked Meg, hovering close enough to stroke Harper's hair.
Some demons develop allergies when they're pregnant.
Rogers shook his head.
It's too extreme to be an allergy.
Levi dashed into the room.
Knox, you need to get her in a cold bath, fast.
Knox's muscles went rigid.
Why? What is it? She's been hexed.
A shocked silence hit the room, and everyone froze. The word hex could instill fear in just about any demon, because there was no way to counteract it. Knox knew that a hex was no small, simple, common thing. It was nothing like in books or movies. Hexes were rarely used, and extremely serious, which was why Knox shook his head.
She can't have been hexed.
Wanna bet her life on it? Because that's what you could be doing if you ignore this.
Levi turned to Meg.
Could you run her a bath?
With a nod, the housekeeper hurried away.
You spoke to Mia,
Knox guessed. She was Levi's friend and an incantor.
Yes,
said Levi, a manic glint in his eyes.
I'll tell you everything she said once we get Harper in the bath, I swear. Mia said you need to do it now. Unless, of course, you are willing to bet Harper's life on it.
He wasn't. Knox wasted no time in scooping Harper up and carrying her through the house and into their bathroom upstairs. Knox held a limp Harper in his arms as, with Meg's help, he whipped off her shirt, jeans, and socks before lowering her into the shallow bath. Her eyes snapped open, and she tried literally throwing herself out of the tub, splashing cold water everywhere. It took Knox, Meg, and Tanner to hold her there. Knox kissed her, hoping to soothe her.
No, baby, you have to stay in the bath. We need to cool your skin.
Breathing hard and fast, she struggled to be free, tears in her eyes.
It's hot,
she said through chattering teeth. Guilt tightened his chest.
It's not hot. It just feels that way to you because you feel cold.
Knox swiped her tears away with his thumbs.
Oh, baby, you're breaking my heart here.
I need to get out,
she sobbed, still struggling against their hold.
It's burning!
I swear to you, it's not. If I could let you out, I would.
It was literally killing Knox to keep her there, knowing she was hurting. The plea in her teary eyes made his stomach churn.
As soon as...
He cut off as she abruptly hunched over, pressing down on her stomach as if it were cramping. Tanner glared at Levi.
What did Mia say? Tell us what's happening.
According to Mia, began Levi, this kind of a fever is a sign that a body is fighting a hex. She's sweating it out. Mia said she may have cramps or vomit. We need to cool her down and keep her hydrated. And she needs sleep.
Sleep?
Keenan echoed, incredulous.
How the hell is she supposed to sleep through that?
Levi thrust a hand into his hair.
I've no idea. I'm just telling you what Mia told me.
What hex exactly is this supposed to be?
Demanded Knox. Levi shrugged.
All I know is that the worse it hurts for Harper to fight it, the worse the hex was meant to be.
Knox watched her shaking, sobbing, and clutching her stomach while Meg whispered reassurances.
Could it have been a death hex?
Possibly.
Levi shrugged again.
There's just no way of knowing unless she fails to fight it off.
She won't fail,
Knox clipped. Tanner's jaw hardened.
No, she won't.
Mia is sure that she's been hexed? Keenan asked. Absolutely sure? Because what from I understand, cursing someone isn't easy, and it can't be done by just anyone.
You're right, Levi confirmed. It's not a petty case of burning someone's photo with a black candle and whispering some bitchy chant. Only incantors and practitioners can cast hexes. To successfully hex someone, they need to do 4 things. 1, go without food and water for 3 days. 2, feed a few drops of their blood to their victim. 3, take something that belongs to their victim and burn it into ashes. And 4, sprinkle those ashes around their altar before performing the hex, which can take hours and very easily rebound on the incantor or practitioner. That's why demons rarely take the risk of trying to perform one.
Tanner rubbed his nape.
I can't imagine Harper drinking someone's blood.
It could have been put in her drink at work, said Levi.
Keenan clicked his fingers.
One of Harper's jackets went missing from the studio last week. She thought Chloe had taken it. Maybe an incantor or a practitioner got their hands on it. Or maybe someone nabbed it for them.
Which would mean the motherfucker or one of their minions might have been in her studio. Knox ground his teeth at the thought, and his demon let out another roar.
Could a hex harm the baby, too?
I asked Mia that, said Levi. She said no. The hex is directed at Harper. It will only harm her. But, obviously, if it is a death hex and it manages to kill her, the baby won't survive.
Knox looked at Rogers, who was pale and looked completely out of his element.
She's in pain and has a fever. Will that harm the baby?
Rogers hesitated to answer.
It's more serious in human pregnancies. If you keep Harper hydrated and get her fever down soon, the baby should be fine.
He didn't say there were no guarantees, but Knox could hear it in his voice, and it spooked the shit out of him.
She'll be okay, Knox, said Keenan. She's a fighter.
Harper again tried to get out of the bath.
Let me the fuck out! It's too hot!
Again, Knox held her down. He hated to force her to stay there, hated the accusatory glitter in her eyes.
I'm sorry, baby.
His head whipped around to look at Levi.
How long do we have to keep her in cool water?
Mia didn't say. I'll ask.
Digging his cell out of his pocket, Levi left the room to take the call. Harper grabbed Knox's arm.
Something's happening to the baby, isn't it?
Her shoulders shook, eyes tearing.
I'm losing it, aren't I?
No, no, no,
Knox quickly assured her.
Someone tried to hurt you with magic. Your system is fighting it. That's a good thing.
She grimaced.
It doesn't feel like a good thing.
She sucked in a breath and then hunched over again. Knox rubbed her nape.
If I could do something, if I could help, I would.
But despite how powerful he was, he couldn't do a damn thing to take away her pain. He was built to destroy, not to heal. And for once in its very long existence, his demon regretted that. Levi re-entered the bathroom.
Once her skin cools, you can take her out of the bath, but you need to keep her covered with a towel or blanket. Basically, we just have to wait it out.
It took half an hour for her fever to break so that they could take her out of the water, but the cramps lasted for over an hour. It was a further 45 fucking minutes before her blood no longer felt hot. Then, wrapped in her snug terry robe and huddled under the bed coverlet, she finally fell asleep. Stood over the bed, Knox scrubbed a hand down his face. His jaw ached from how hard he'd clenched it as he'd fought to keep his demon from rising. The entity was a little calmer now that she no longer suffered, but it demanded vengeance.
Thatcher!
Knox spat.
It fucking has to have been him.
Maybe, but we can't just go to his house and grab him, Knox, said Levi. He's a powerful prime. His lair is almost as large as ours.
I don't fucking care. Look at her, Levi. He's an incantor. She was hexed. Are you not seeing the correlation here?
I'm seeing it. But I'm also seeing the consequences of you killing him without proof. You remember what happened to the last demon when he killed another prime without evidence of wrongdoing, don't you?
Yes. Most of the other primes had united against the demon and killed him.
You don't think it's Thatcher?
Knox sensed. Levi sighed.
You said yourself that he's too smart to do anything that would cast suspicion on himself. Think past your anger, Knox. I know it's fucking hard, but try. For Harper.
Knox inhaled deeply, rolling back his shoulders. Before Harper, he'd never let emotions get in the way of his decisions, mostly because he hadn't felt many. He called on that practical side of himself as he paced, thinking it through.
The person who sent the emails was very careful to conceal their identity. Hexing her would not be a careful move for Thatcher. It would be damn stupid. He's not a stupid person. And, yes, it would be odd for someone who's been so cautious to then repeatedly act in ways that led back to them. I know all this. But what do you want me to do? Sit back and wait for whoever it is to make another move? If it is Thatcher, he's notorious for being like a dog with a bone. When he has an issue with someone, he doesn't let it go. He won't just stop.
Larkin, who'd arrived half an hour earlier, raised her index finger.
About people with issues.
Knox turned to her.
Did you find a direct link between Thatcher and Harper?
Not one. So I checked to see if he'd had any problems with Jolene. I wondered if maybe he had a beef with her and he was using Harper and Heidi to hurt her or something like that. Thatcher's never had any major issues with Jolene, from what I can tell. But Jonas has.
Keenan's brows snapped together.
Jonas?
Larkin nodded. And it was very recent. It's not clear what happened. Just that he wanted something from Jolene and she refused him, so he threatened to make her pay for it. Something along those lines. I'm not saying this is related to everything that's gone on lately, but I thought it was worth mentioning.
Tanner's eyes narrowed.
Jonas may have planned to hurt Jolene by taking Heidi and by hiring hunters to steal Harper's wings.
Larkin shrugged.
Possibly.
Fuck!
Knox pulled out his phone, dialed Jolene's number, and stalked out of the room. He was in the hallway when she answered. He got straight to the point.
Why didn't you tell me you had problems with Jonas?
There was a silence of sheer surprise.
Why would I? That's my business, not yours.
It is my business if it has something to do with your granddaughters being targeted, since one of them is my mate.
Jolene sighed.
Knox, I've had problems with many primes. It's the curse of having a small lair. What's this all about? You really think Jonas is responsible?
I don't know. Maybe. But I'm not willing to rule out any possibilities. I need to know what problem you two had.
Jonas saw me and members of my lair talking with Lou at the anniversary shindig you threw at the underground.
Knox ground his teeth.
It wasn't a shindig.
In any case, he later came to me with a rather surprising request.
As Jolene repeated her conversation with the Prime, Knox's jaw hardened until it ached.
How long ago did he approach you with this?
A few weeks before the hunters went after Harper.
And you didn't think the two things could be linked?
No.
I assumed it was the horsemen, given that they'd already targeted both of you twice before. Knox couldn't even fault her for that, considering he'd done the same damn thing.
It was a reasonable assumption for you to make,
he allowed.
Jonas was no doubt counting on people to blame the horsemen.
Can we be sure he's our boy? We have to be completely certain before we take action, Knox. Halting, Knox inhaled deeply.
At the moment, no, we can't be sure. I'll be calling for all the primes to meet with me tomorrow. I need to look him and Thatcher in the eye. I need to see how they react to me and what I have to say.
While the practical side of him believed that Thatcher wasn't at fault, Knox's emotional side wouldn't allow him to take chances.
I'll be there.
Now, why don't you tell me what this has to do with Thatcher, and why you sound as though you'd like to see someone drowning in a pool of their own blood? And here was where Jolene would lose her mind. Chapter 12. A steady, rhythmic beat woke her. A heartbeat, Harper quickly realized. She didn't need to open her throbbing eyes to know that the arms wrapped around her, keeping her cradled against a warm, solid body, belonged to Knox. She'd know the feel and scent of him anywhere. Swallowing, Harper winced. It felt like someone had rubbed at the back of her throat with sandpaper. Her mouth was dry as a bone. Forcing her eyes open, she realized they were in their room, and Knox was sitting upright against the headboard.
"Why do I feel hungover?"
she mumbled. Knox kissed her hair and tightened his arms around her, so fucking glad she was awake. He'd known that she was fine, but he'd needed to hear her voice and look into her eyes before he could relax. At the moment, the eyes squinting up at him were a pretty amethyst shade.
Hungover has got to be better than fevered.
Memories of the previous evening flickered through Harper's mind. She tensed, sure she dreamed half of it, because it was simply too surreal. Did someone really try to hurt me using magic?
Yes, you were hexed,
Knox confirmed, curling her hair around her ear. His mouth twitched as she let out a string of inventive curses that would have made even a sailor blink in shock.
I don't know what type of hex it was. There's no way of knowing because you fought it off before it could work.
Sitting upright, Harper studied him closely.
But you think it was a death hex, don't you?
Knox shifted her to straddle him.
I don't know. The hunter said that the person who hired him was very adamant that you weren't to be killed. It could be that they simply wanted to weaken you, but the hex was so intense and you were in so much pain. I'm more inclined to think that they're no longer so concerned about whether you're alive or dead. Maybe because they're pissed that their previous plans were foiled. I can only speculate.
His jaw hardened.
You should know that it's possible that you were in close contact with whoever cast the hex, or at least with someone who worked for them.
Seriously?
They needed to possess something of yours, and to have fed you a little of their blood. It could have been in your drink. You wouldn't have known.
Harper grimaced.
Their blood? Really?
Really.
Both she and her demon shuddered. The entity was more uptight than usual, which was pretty understandable in Harper's opinion. She put a hand to her stomach as she voiced the question she dreaded asking for fear of the answer.
The baby's fine, right?
Hearing the slight tremor in her voice, Knox cupped her face.
The baby is fine, I promise you.
He'd spent much of the night with his hand on her stomach, feeling the baby move and kick, letting it calm his demon.
Other than a little hungover, how do you feel?
Not bad, considering.
I don't feel weak or anything.
Good, because I want to take you somewhere.
She arched a brow.
Oh, yeah? Where?
One corner of his mouth lifted at the dubious note in her tone.
It's a surprise.
A snort popped out of her.
It's you wanting to whisk me away from here, that's what it is,
she corrected.
You can't tell me you're not feeling a little anxious. You've been attacked, hexed, and you're pregnant. A little downtime will do you good. And, yes, I want to whisk you to someplace safe, somewhere where you can relax.
For how long?
For as long as it takes for you to get better and emotionally recover.
And for his demon to calm the hell down.
Be honest. Your fever might be broken and the pain might have gone, but it's left you weak and weary. It's also spooked you a little and left you shaken.
Unable to deny any of that, Harper puffed out a breath and said,
Okay, you can whisk me away somewhere.
But I'd like to see Jolene before I go. She'll be worried. Knox nodded.
About Jolene, you should know that she destroyed a number of derelict buildings last night.
Harper winced.
You told her I'd been hexed? Damn, Knox! I thought you were smarter than that.
She would have found out from someone. It was better that she heard it from me. Did you know that she'd had trouble with Jonas?
Jonas?
Harper echoed, surprised. She listened intently as he relayed the things he'd heard from Larkin and Jolene.
If we were talking about anyone other than Jonas, I'd understand why you might link him with what's happened to me and Heidi. But Jonas likes you, she pointed out,
absent-mindedly tracing the brand her demon left on his nape.
He wouldn't go after your mate.
Knox's mouth kicked up into a smile.
Nobody likes me, baby. They fear me. And so they're civil toward me out of respect and a sense of self-preservation. That's it.
You're wrong. Your sentinels like you. My family likes you.
She smiled.
I like you.
His cock twitched at the sensual note in her voice.
Later, when we're alone, I'll have you.
Why later? What's happening now?
Now I go talk with the Primes. I called an emergency meeting. You can't come, Harper,
he quickly added.
One of them can sense pregnancies, and we're not ready for people to know yet.
She snorted.
You'd expect me to stay behind anyway.
I would,
he admitted, unrepentant. She blew out a long breath.
I guess I'll pack while you're gone.
Good girl.
He kissed her forehead.
We'll be gone a couple of weeks, so don't pack light.
Okay. Try not to kill Thatcher or Jonas. I want to make sure the right guy dies.
Can't make any promises, but I'll try. For you.
Sliding his fingers into her hair, he kissed her, a soft and slow exploration that still left her panting.
Shower.
Sensing he needed to take care of her, Harper didn't protest as he washed, dried, and dressed her. She even let him comb her hair, knowing it calmed him. Still, when he set down the brush and she turned to face him, anxiety lingered in his dark eyes.
I'm okay.
Cupping her hips, he pulled her close.
Of course you are. It's the only reason my demon isn't destroying its surroundings.
He gave her a quick kiss.
I have to leave now, so I can't have breakfast with you, but I won't be long. Be good for Tanner and Keenan. Oh, be warned that Meg may fuss over you like crazy. She was scared seeing you in that much pain. Be patient with her.
I will. If for no other reason, then she won't make me muffins anymore if I'm not.
She melted into him as he brushed his nose against hers before kissing her yet again.
Love you.
And I love you, baby.
They were words he'd never thought he'd ever give to someone.
words he didn't think he could give, since there was no denying that he was emotionally stunted. But they were the truth. She was everything to him, and now she was carrying his baby, a child that would probably always be in danger for the simple reason that Knox was its father, just like Harper would probably always be in danger for the simple reason that she was his mate. Maybe Knox should feel some regret, feel some sense of guilt for having taken her as his mate and brought this level of danger to her life. But he couldn't. He'd never have any regrets about Harper, even if it meant that a cloud of menace would always hang above them. It was no doubt selfish and unfair of him, but he'd never claimed to be good. Never would be good. Likewise, his demon had no regrets, but then it wasn't capable of remorse. It had no conscience, no pity, no sense of fair play. Demonkind had been very wise to ask that archdemons remain in hell. It was where they belonged, the only place that beings so destructive and cruel should be allowed to inhabit. Knox wasn't sure if Harper truly grasped that his demon's sanity rested on the mere fact that her heart beat in her chest. She anchored it in so many ways that it would literally be lost without her. It was exactly the same for Knox. The person targeting her truly had no idea just what fate they were tempting. Oh, they no doubt suspected that Knox would snap and cause a mass amount of destruction if she died, but they might also believe that it would turn demonkind against him and, as such, many would come together to take him down. They didn't understand that none of them would even have a chance to take him down, let alone the ability. Really, they'd better hope to fucking God that their plans didn't succeed, or the Earth would be nothing but wasteland by the time Knox and his demon were done with it. The remains would make hell look like a damn paradise. Standing at the entrance to the boardroom, Knox watched as Thatcher approached with one of his sentinels. His demon sneered, just as it had at every other person who neared it. Anger still had a tight hold on the entity, and all it wanted was to be with its mate, but not before delivering a special brand of vengeance. And since the male heading toward them could quite possibly be responsible for her pain, yeah, the demon wanted to butcher him with a boning knife. Unlike Knox, it didn't care if it punished the wrong person in its quest to discover who hexed their mate. Collateral damage was nothing to the entity. Thatcher nodded.
Good to see you, Knox.
He didn't seem to be the least bit nervous or worried about what reason Knox could have had for calling the meeting.
I don't suppose you'll give me a hint of what this is about.
You'll find out soon enough,
Knox told him, just as he'd told all the others who asked. Thatcher's mouth curved.
Yeah, it was worth a try.
Knox gestured for him and his sentinel to enter, and they joined the other primes who were gathered around the long table. Many were leaning into each other, speaking in low voices, no doubt speculating on what Knox had to say. More and more people arrived, making his demon more and more restless. When it saw Jonas and Aletheia with two sentinels, it unexpectedly settled. No, not settled, he quickly realized. It was putting aside its anger to study them carefully. Very, very carefully. Apparently, it suspected them more than it suspected Thatcher. Knox gave them a nod of greeting.
Jonas, Aletheia.
Jonas's smile was as cordial as always.
I must admit, you have me curious. I'm assuming this is about the horsemen?
Have the decency to wait for the meeting to start,
Aletheia playfully admonished her brother. She then leaned forward as she shook Knox's hand, and he got a whiff of her trademark rose perfume that never failed to make Harper's nose wrinkle. Knox could see that she was waiting for him to kiss her cheek, as he would have done long before meeting Harper. But tonight he didn't. And it scored a hit, because she narrowed her eyes as she straightened.
"Where is your Sphinx?"
asked Aletheia, the words tightly spoken.
"At home, resting."
"Resting?"
Concern creased Jonas's brow.
"I heard about the hunters. Did more strike? I'll explain everything once the others arrive."
Jonas reluctantly walked away without asking additional questions. Aletheia shot Nox an unreadable look before trailing after her brother, hips swaying provocatively. Nox subtly inhaled, allowing the scents of coffee, polish, and citrus air freshener to drown out the perfume. Standing near the far wall, Levi exchanged an impatient look with Nox. The Reaper was still fuming about the hex and seemingly had no tolerance whatsoever for Aletheia's brand of petty behavior right now. Turning, Nox smiled at the sight of two imps approaching.
"Jolene, Beck, glad you could make it."
Jolene's mouth curled.
"Nox, always a pleasure."
"No Martina?"
"She's terribly upset about Harper. I couldn't guarantee that she wouldn't set anything in your beautiful hotel on fire."
Nox nodded in understanding.
"I appreciate your foresight."
Jolene's smile widened.
"I thought you might."
"I paid Harper a visit before I left for the meeting. Other than tired, she seems reasonably well, all things considered."
"The hex doesn't seem to have caused any lasting effects."
"Which means I don't have to blow up any more buildings."
Jolene linked her arm through Beck's.
"Ah, I see dear old Malden. It'll be fun to have someone to toy with."
She headed for the table, and Nox knew she'd undoubtedly tease the other prime, much like her granddaughter usually did. After the last three primes arrived and were all seated, Nox closed the door. His footsteps were silent as he stalked along the carpet toward the head of the table, passing light gold walls that were bare, aside from the media screen at the front of the room. The voices fell silent, until all Nox could hear was the steady hum of the air conditioning. Nox slowly sank into the seat at the head of the table, the media screen at his back.
"Thank you all for coming. I appreciate you taking a break from your schedules to attend the meeting on such short notice."
"Did you find out something about the horsemen?"
asked Jonas.
"Did you?"
Nox returned. Jonas blinked.
"If anyone knows anything, they're not talking."
Raoul grabbed the pitcher and poured himself a glass of ice water as he spoke.
"There are whispers of who they could be, but they seem to be merely speculation fueled by paranoia."
Nox leaned back in the chair, making the leather creak slightly.
"What about you, Thatcher? Heard anything interesting?"
Thatcher adjusted his tie.
"I confess I haven't investigated the matter much."
Nox lifted a brow.
"And why is that?"
There was a long pause.
"I'm not convinced they are real,"
Thatcher finally admitted.
"I'm not calling you a liar, Nox. I just don't trust the words of a delusional, near-rogue demon."
Ordinarily, neither would Nox, but...
"It wasn't Lawrence Crow who told me about the horsemen. He wasn't aware they were using him like a puppet."
Nox had learned of them from Dario and Nora, but since many back then had suspected that Dario was near rogue, Dario had believed that to voice such a conspiracy would simply make him seem paranoid, a symptom of a rogue demon. As such, it would have then given credence to the near rogue rumors. Although the primes wouldn't be so disinclined to believe Dario now, Nox thought it likely that they would be angry at Dario to hear that he'd warned Nox but not them. He had no interest in causing friction between the primes or shifting their attention from the real issue. Harper's safety was at risk. As such, Nox said,
"Rowan talked of the horsemen to Harper.
He was cruel, but not delusional.
"Are you willing to trust the word of a dying, treacherous demon?" asked Malden, though there was no judgment there, merely curiosity.
"My mate believes he was being truthful," said Knox. "I trust her judgment."
Malden inclined his head. "In any case, I personally have no information about the horseman." Knox twisted his mouth.
"Shame. But I did not call you all here to discuss the horseman. I'm sure most, if not all, of you heard that my mate was recently attacked by hunters."
"I heard," said Dario.
"Is she all right?"
There was genuine concern in his voice.
"Fine. She fought them hard. They wanted her wings. In fact, they were hired to acquire them. Since my mate's wings have never come to her, it was a waste of their time and earned them nothing but an early and excruciating death."
"The horseman hired them?" asked Raoul.
"That was my first thought," said Knox, tapping his fingers on the smooth glass table. "Then her cousin was almost kidnapped. The demon who attempted to take the little girl had also been hired by someone."
Jonas's brow knitted.
"That doesn't mean the two events are necessarily related."
Jolene spoke then.
"Both the hunters and the kidnapper were hired by someone who sent an anonymous encrypted email that self-deleted shortly after being opened. That's not a technique that's widely used, but I know of some people who do use it."
Thatcher sat up straighter, looking resigned.
"You might as well know that I am one of those people." "Oh, I already knew that," Knox told him. "Just as I already knew that the main collector of Sphinx wings is your cousin, Francisco Alanez."
Thatcher's mouth pinched.
"Francisco does not collect them for collecting's sake."
Knox held up a hand before the demon could explain further.
"The wings on his wall belong to his relatives and are trophies, I know. Don't worry, Francisco didn't mention you. He did, however, mention Dion Boughton. I was surprised to learn from Dion that he once belonged to your lair."
Raoul's eyes slid from Knox to Thatcher and back again.
"Are you accusing Thatcher of something?"
Knox arched a brow.
"Should I?" "I don't deal on the black market,"
Thatcher stated.
"And I don't hire minions."
A ringing made them all turn toward the sound. Flushing, Malden pulled out his cell and quickly tapped the screen, quieting the device.
"I apologize. I'm curious, Knox. Does Harper blame Thatcher? Is that why she's not here?"
"She's not here because I insisted that she rest. Being hexed takes a toll on even the strongest of demons."
Raoul paused, with his glass halfway to his mouth, gaping.
"Your mate was hexed?"
"Just yesterday,"
Knox confirmed.
"She survived it, of course."
Mila raised her brows, looking impressed.
"She's strong."
"It astonishes me that people fail to see just how strong she is."
Knox steepled his fingers.
"She wasn't too weak to attend the meeting, but I wanted her at top strength for our trip. We're not willing to miss our vacation for someone who stupidly assumed she wouldn't fight off a hex."
He didn't want anyone thinking that the hex had sent he and Harper running, so he felt it would be simpler to imply that the trip was organized prior to the magical strike. Thatcher sighed, face hard.
"I suppose this makes me an even likelier suspect. I'm an incantor, after all." "Yes, Thatcher, it does,"
said Knox.
"Why would I harm your mate?"
Thatcher's hand clenched, and Knox half expected him to thump the table.
"Considering you're quite adamant that the horsemen are real, I would have thought you would be blaming them. Or are you also accusing me of being one of them?
I'm not so blinded by the horseman situation that I believe they're responsible for everything that happens. If I were one of them, I'd lie low.
As would I, said Jolene.
If you're looking for someone who would mean your mate harm, you should be looking at the other side of the table.
Thatcher's gaze drilled into Alethea, who gawked at him.
You bastard, she hissed. Don't you point fingers at me.
Thatcher raised his hands in a helpless gesture.
I only speak the truth. Everyone here knows that you would see Harper dead, given the chance.
Jonas held up a calming hand.
Alethea and Harper do not get along, that is true, but...
Thatcher snorted.
That is a complete understatement.
Jonas's jaw hardened.
My sister has nothing to do with this. You're sure of that, are you? You would bet your position of prime on it?
Thatcher snickered when Jonas fell silent.
Didn't think so.
Nostrils flaring, Jonas said,
Just because a person dislikes someone doesn't mean that they wish to cause them physical harm.
Thatcher's gaze returned to Alethea.
But you would, if you thought you could get away with it, wouldn't you? You know, I heard that Jonas's new girlfriend is an incantor.
Shock flashed across Jonas's face, but he buried the emotion quickly.
Maybe, Alethea. You got her to hex Harper for you,
Thatcher suggested. Alethea bared her teeth.
You're just looking to divert everyone's attention from yourself.
I didn't know Jonas was dating an incantor, Levi said to Knox. Interesting.
It is, agreed Knox, particularly since he seemed so shocked that outsiders would know about it. For some reason, he was hoping to keep it private.
Thatcher pointed at Jonas.
Or maybe it was you who asked your girlfriend to hex Harper. As I understand it, you're not too happy with Jolene right now. Maybe you wanted to punish her using her granddaughters.
All eyes moved to Jolene, but she was staring hard at Jonas when she spoke.
Thatcher seems to enjoy playing devil's advocate, but he makes a good point. Promising me that I would regret not giving you what you wanted? Well, that certainly implicates you.
Dario narrowed his eyes.
What did he want from you, Jolene?
She continued staring at Jonas.
Why don't you tell them, Jonas?
After a moment, Jonas cleared his throat.
I wanted to meet with Lucifer.
I asked Jolene to arrange a meeting. She refused.
You want an alliance with him, corrected Jolene calmly. I told you that I couldn't guarantee you an alliance with Lucifer or that he would even meet with you. The devil doesn't ally himself with anyone. I told him that you wanted to meet him, but he has no interest in speaking with you. That's hardly my fault, yet you blame me.
It's brave of you to be prepared to, literally, make a deal with the devil, Jonas,
Knox told him. Dario squinted at Jonas.
Why would you want to meet with Lucifer? What do you want from him?
At this point, everyone was eyeing Jonas suspiciously, including his sister, who seemed sincerely surprised by the news.
That was my question, said Jolene. After all, Lou likes loopholes. Any deal he makes always has a catch, and it's always one that makes the demons sorry they made the deal in the first place. That's common knowledge. A demon would have to want something very, very badly to be prepared to make any kind of pact with Lou. I said as much to Jonas. I asked him just what it was that he was so desperate to have.
What did he say?
Asked Thatcher.
just that I'd be sorry I hadn't cooperated, which makes me think that it was very important to him, or he wouldn't be so resentful about it. She looked at Jonas. At the time, I thought you were full of hot air. Now I'm thinking that you might have hurt Harper as a warning to me to do as you'd asked. You could have then later thought you could use Heidi to make me cooperate. Neck stiff and corded, Jonas lifted his chin.
I would never cause any harm to Harper or a child. I wanted to meet with Lucifer, yes, but that is my business. I don't have to explain myself to any of you. And if you're done making accusations, Knox...
I don't recall accusing you of anything, said Knox. Do I consider you a possible suspect? Yes.
He glared at Jonas, but kept his voice pitched low and calm.
I don't need to tell you what will happen if I discover that you're behind all this.
I'm done here.
Jonas shot to his feet.
Let's go, Alethea.
Looking a little lost, she followed him as he stiffly strode out of the room with their sentinels. One by one, the Primes began to leave the room. Each said polite goodbyes to Knox, and all appeared to be in deep thought. He suspected that hearing Jonas wanted an alliance with Lou unnerved them a little. Jolene was one of the last to leave. My gut says it wasn't Thatcher. Everything points to him, yes, but that's what bothers me. Knox sighed.
Last night, I was ready to kill him. But the more I think about it, the more unlikely it seemed to me that someone so intelligent would continually leave evidence that led me right to him. I can't afford to dismiss him as a suspect, though.
Of course not. This is Harper's life we're talking about. And I won't dismiss him as a suspect either. But I don't believe it was him. Jonas is known for parading his girlfriends around. He treats them like accessories. But I've not seen him with an Encantor. Yet he didn't deny that he's dating one.
A pause.
Did you notice how startled Alethea was to discover that her brother wanted to meet with Lou?
I did. I also noticed that it seemed to worry her.
Jolene shook his hand.
The meeting was certainly enlightening. Take care of my granddaughter, Knox.
I will.
He nodded at both Jolene and Beck, and the two imps then left. Finally, the last of the Primes came to the door.
Well, that was eventful, said Dario.
His brows lowered as he added,
I'm sorry to hear about what happened to Harper. You will kill who's responsible.
The Prime, unlike many others, liked and respected Harper.
Don't doubt it. I don't suppose Nora knows anything worth mentioning.
Dario scratched his head.
Actually, she asked me to pass on a message to you. When it's time to kill the child, don't hesitate, no matter what.
A cold finger trailed down his spine, and Knox and his demon stiffened.
The child?
Dario shrugged.
She said you would know what I meant.
With that, the Prime left with his sentinel in tow. Knox closed the door and turned to Levi, who was now perched on the edge of the long table.
Well, either Thatcher is an incredible actor, or he has nothing to do with either the attacks on Harper or with Heidi's kidnapping. He was defensive and tried diverting your attention to others, sure, but he had a lot of people staring at him with suspicion. It's only natural that he'd want to point out that others have motives to harm Harper.
Knox nodded.
Jolene thinks it's unlikely that the blame belongs to Thatcher.
He quickly told the Reaper what Jolene telepathically said.
She's right that it's odd for someone who treats girlfriends like they're accessories to keep any relationship quiet. I don't see what motivation Jonas would have for doing so. Even if it were she who wanted things to stay low-key, it makes no sense that Jonas would agree. He'd be more likely to simply move on to someone else.
Knox rubbed at his jaw.
If we can find out the name of this incantor he's dating, we may be able to figure this out. Keenan and Larkin can look into it while you and Harper are on vacation. Do you think it's possible that Jonas is our boy? What I think is that someone would have to be desperate to be prepared to make a deal with Lou. And that makes me wonder just what Jonas must be desperate to possess.
Chapter 13. As the engine fired up and the aircraft began to move, Harper sank deeper into the leather reclining seat. Damn, she really did love the private jet. Black and sleek, it made her think of Knox with his dark designer suits and smooth, polished shoes. The white and gray interior was businesslike without being bland or insipid. Again, it made her think of Knox. It didn't matter that he never wore much color. He could never be accused of looking plain. The beverage cart creaked as the attentive stewardess appeared, smelling of hairspray and hand sanitizer. After giving Harper a bottle of water and preparing Knox a gin and tonic, she disappeared behind the curtain. Harper kind of liked her, especially since she never flirted with Knox. Apparently, she was happily mated to the captain. Levi and Tanner were in the cabin near the front of the craft, which meant Harper and Knox were alone when she opened her bottle and asked, "So, why don't you tell me what happened at the meeting?" Sitting opposite her with his thighs bracketing hers, Knox did exactly that. He would have preferred to simply pyroport them to his privately owned Caribbean island, but he needed to be seen by others to leave Vegas and arrive on the island. Otherwise, people would definitely talk. The less they knew about his abilities, the less they could predict what he could or would do. Harper sighed. I wish I'd been there. I don't like that I didn't see their reactions for myself. As his shoulders tensed, she added, I'm not saying I should have been there. It was for the best that I didn't go. Like that, his muscles lost their stiffness. Knox drummed his fingers on the armrest.
As I reminded you earlier, one of the primes can sense pregnancies, just like Ren. I want to be in control of when the demon population discovers you're pregnant.
She snickered. Of course you do. You're all about control. She rummaged through her bag until she found the plastic box that Meg handed her as they were leaving. Curious about what was inside, she peeled off the lid and found a gorgeously prepared fruit salad. It was sweet of the woman, but... I miss chocolate. Knox's mouth quirked.
I thought you might.
He pulled a Hershey's bar out of his pocket, almost chuckling at the way her eyes lit up. His demon's sour mood lifted at the sight. Have I mentioned how much I love you?
You said it this morning, actually, but it never hurts to hear it again.
Then I love you, Knox Thorne. Now give me that chocolate. He handed it over.
I have an ulterior motive.
She paused in tearing it open. Oh, yeah?
You know I love to watch you eat. It's even better when you're eating chocolate. You make those little moans that wrap around my cock like a fist.
Her demon liked that comment a lot. Harper grinned. I kind of like watching you eat certain things. The sexual implication had all kinds of images flashing through his head and made his cock harden almost painfully. Another time, He might have ordered her to come to him and do something about the hard-on she'd caused. He could see in her eyes that it was what she expected him, wanted him to do, but...
I have plans for you. They don't include you riding me on the jet. Not today. So be a good girl and eat your chocolate and fruit.
With a humph, she bit into the bar. So, where are we going anyway? Don't say it's a surprise. You know I don't like them. A smile tugged at his mouth.
I know.
You told me to pack plenty of bikinis, so I'm guessing it's somewhere warm.
Good guess.
Impatience flared in her eyes. Come on! Give me something!
All right.
We'll be staying in a beach hut. She blinked. Beach hut? You mean, like, at a resort?
No. I own the island.
Well, of course you own an island, she muttered dryly. Meg gave me a list of the foods that I can't eat to give to whoever's cooking for us. She cried while I was packing. She said she wants me to stay close to her so that she can keep an eye on me and make sure I eat properly. Personally, I think she was just trying to guilt me into taking her along. She broke off a chunk of her chocolate bar and offered it to him, but he shook his head. She fusses even more than you do, and that's saying something. But, of course, that, no doubt, suits you just fine. Knox partially lowered the window shade to protect her eyes from the glare of the sun.
I like knowing there's always someone watching over you.
She slanted her head. I wonder if you'll ease up on me a little when the baby's born. Maybe all that hyper-protective energy will then be concentrated on them. Knox leaned forward and curled his hand around her chin as he spoke, voice grave.
I will be very protective of the baby, make no mistake about that. But nothing will ever make me less protective of you. Not a thing.
He kissed her hard and deep, tasting Coke and chocolate and Harper. Which was a bad move, really, because it only made his cock even harder.
This is gonna feel like a really long flight, he grumbled.
I bet I can improve your mood, she said with a smile. Lucien's postponed his trip. Apparently he met some Thai woman and she's keeping him rather occupied right now. That did improve his mood.
Hopefully she keeps him occupied for a long, long time.
Knox took another swig from his glass.
Like a century, for example.
She rolled her eyes. I can't say I'm disappointed by his news. I don't think he'll react well to my being pregnant, so the delay is most welcome. Not that I want or feel that I need his approval. But you've seen how he gets when something upsets his little world. It's excruciatingly annoying. And I know